Danny Meringue.
Dusty Bun?
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Reach the stars.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a April Fool's. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080MTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080MTheFan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. And, well, the NFL continues to rule the day one way or another. They always find a way.
They do.
And today, they are ruling away with their rule changes. There is some that have been tabled for a later date, which is like, why?
Well, the tush, push, push. It has been pushed on when they will decide on the future of the tush, push, which is the dumbest thing ever. Apparently, it was a dead
16-16
lock split. 16 yes to keep it, 16 no to get rid of it. And I think that this is the stupidest thing of all time, especially the mental gymnastics that these coaches are doing. In the name of player safety, spare me the player safety crap, because they're in Sean McDermott, Buffalo Bills head coach, whose team uses the play, can't execute it in the most critical time, fourth down against Kansas City Chiefs.
5'250-pound quarterback.
But because they can't do it, they want it gone. And they're saying player safety, they are all admitting there's no injury data on it.
No.
And they can't find injuries that have occurred during it. It's just, it's a play that you can't stop.
It's a rugby scrum. It's like, it's probably one of all the plays that you run, it's probably one of the more safe, because
it's throwback.
It's
throwback to the origins of football.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of the quote unquote lower impact because the distance that guys are traveling. Now, if it turns into one of those guys jumping over the top, like we saw, what was that game at the end of the season where they kept jumping over the top?
Well, that was the Commanders.
It was Commanders, yeah, you go.
It's where they did the, hey, any more of this nonsense, we're just going to give them the touchdown.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Are these same coaches going to have that energy on a wham block where you let the edge come upfield untouched and you bring a guy across the line of scrimmage with a running head start to ear hole him? Okay. Are we gonna say can't do that out of player safety? The thing about the tush push is you know exactly what is coming.
Mm-hmm. You just can't stop
you can brace for it. You cannot stop it. So much of football is deception in letting a guy think that he is unblocked, trap block anybody, where you think you're unblocked, and then, bam, here comes somebody to mow you over. Mm-hmm. Are we going to say that for player safety, we're going to get rid of that?
We're going to take counters out of the game?
Because, like, this is... What in the world are we doing where this is in the name of player safety? Just say what you mean. We can't do it. We can't stop it. So we want it gone. When you say that out loud, guess what? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Did you see the Eagle social media account?
No.
They just tweeted the peach emoji with a pushing hand.
Yeah, there we go. So they're going to figure that whole thing out in May and whatever.
I love how this is turning into like a congressional meeting where you got to go get one more vote.
Golly.
Is it just that they'll need one or they have to get a majority? Not a majority, but like a number.
Now, there...
Do they have to get to 20?
I think for owners to do it, it's 24.
But rules committee, I'm not familiar with.
I'm not 100% sure on that either. But we do have some rules that are actually going to be changed.
Indeed.
There are two that got pushed back. One, the tush push will be decided at a later date. They have voted no to the Detroit Lions proposal, which I actually would have been in favor of eliminating an automatic first down for defensive holding and illegal contact.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be 5 yards and replay the down, right? Just a 5 yard penalty, replay the down. The automatic first down is so punitive.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily like that, but they voted against it.
Got to keep it obviously on the PI, but
yeah. But I don't know. They voted no against it, but we do have some, I think, rules that are going to be for the betterment of football and moving the game along.
I mean, the spotting with the Hawkeye technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. What we should have done this a long time ago. They've had a chip in the balls for what, 5 years, 6 years?
A great gig is if you can be a chain gang guy now. It was already a great gig because you just held the chains and
now,
you get...
Now you're just there.
You had front row seats. Mm-hmm. Like the coaches couldn't even go in front of you. Mm-hmm. You were just like, nah, I ain't moving. And you were always in the action. That's a great gig now because now you can't screw this up.
It's like an OG union gig.
Yeah.
You can't lose it.
You're just going to sit there and hang out and watch the game. And if the chip goes haywire, the technology breaks down. Mm-hmm. All right, then
you're
we're going to run it all out there.
Jog it on out there.
You're gravy train with biscuit wheels, baby. Let's go.
Maybe somebody pisses you off enough, you use that yard marker as a javelin. Oh.
Golly, that was a story Leverett's told.
Yeah,
huh?
I think the ones in the NFL, they just have the little like button plastic end.
They do, but that'll still hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, you throw
but
that
the OG enough. Ones were like quite literally like a javelin because you would spike them into the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the good old days.
And they were metal.
Now you got to protect the turf.
Yeah.
But that passed, so we do have Hawkeye ball spotting technology. Good for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now our overtime rules are going to be the same.
Yep.
So if this team gets a ball, scores a touchdown, the game's not over in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go by the playoff rules, which is every team is guaranteed a possession of the football. I like that. Still a 10-minute overtime. If the game ends in a tie, it'll be a tie. But if a team marches down the field, scores a touchdown, game isn't over, you have a chance to respond. I like that.
No, I'm definitely in favor of it. They did expand the replay assist to a couple different penalties as well.
Yeah.
The horse collar appearing on this one, remember that was going to be a big deal, and then there was a number of horse collar tackles that were egregious, and they were like, nah, it's fine.
But here's the thing about it. So they're expanding replay assist on penalties for a defenseless player, a face mask, roughing the kicker, running into the kicker, horse collar tackles, and tripping.
Mm-hmm.
The only caveat to this is that it's only if a flag is thrown. So what you're probably going to see is if there's any question in the official's mind,
flag
is going to be thrown immediately. Replay assist is rewatching the play, and they're going to try to... The goal is, before they even announce the penalty, they're going to have it finalized. It has to be clear and decisive that the penalty did not happen for them to overrule it. So hopefully it can be done and can be done without dragging the game on, but they've expanded the replay assist.
What I wonder there is a very specific incident or very specific outcome. Let's say quarterback sees his right tackle get his face mask twisted.
Yeah.
It just out of the periphery. We see this occasionally. Quarterback sees flag immediately, and now he just airs it out and takes the chance because he sees the flag, much like we see in the free plays on offsides and stuff like that. That one for me, because that changes your potential outcomes because you think you've got a free flag.
Yeah.
What if you air one out and it turns into an interception and they rule that it was not a face mask?
Well, that's on you for putting the ball in risk, then.
You know what I mean?
It's
a little bit interesting. It's a very particular circumstance.
Yeah,
but
and that's
I do wonder.
Such a rare occurrence. But I think that on that, hey, you know the rules. You know that there is replay assist and it could be taken back. So if you want to mess around, you'll find out.
Touchbacks continue to be at the 35-yard line.
No, they're moving.
To the 35.
I like this.
Yes.
It's a long ways out there. 35-yard line for an offense to start at the 35. Think about that.
Wasn't average starting position 27 last year?
You have to, now the offense has to get 25 yards to be in field goal range.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimate field goal range is 25 yards. You are going to see a lot more kickoff returns.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're exciting.
I'm here for it. Because they sat there, they looked at the data of the new kickoff where you have the fronts being moved forward and a smaller space for contact. They said, all right, injuries are going to be down because we don't have 35-yard running starts anymore. We need to ramp up the action. How do you get a team to just say, nah, screw it, we're not going to kick off, we're going to 25-yard line, we'll take it? There's a big difference between getting 35 yards to get into field goal range and 25 yards into field goal range. I know the text coming in, 3, 2, 1, it's 10 yards. That's another first down. First downs are hard to come by in the NFL. I like this rule because we will see the kickoff being a weapon in the game of football again.
And you get to see returners and how much they matter.
Yes. Yes. I'm here for it. I think it's a good rule. If you're a defensive coordinator, you probably don't like it. But at the same time, kick coverage is going to mean something again.
Again, making the game matter more, because that was the time kickoffs for the last 10 years was when you went and had a long extended commercial break. You run to the bathroom, grab your food, take care of the dogs, take care of the kids, whatever it was.
Yep.
Now it matters again. So
no doubt about it.
I'm all about it. Well, coming up next, the Blazers have started their blitz for Tumani Kamara for Defensive Player of the Year, and they're asking, what's in the box? What's in the box? Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan. The Portland Trailblazers have launched their push for Trailblazers wing Tumani Kamara's Defensive Player of the Year candidacy.
It's been a while since we've seen one of these. The Blazers rolling out some sort of gift to lure votes from the assembled media.
Indeed.
If there's anything that the media likes, it's free stuff. They're just like fans that like the t-shirt cannon. Mm-hmm. They like some free stuff. And I thought it was cool what they sent out. They sent out a lockbox with Blazers and Tumani Kamara branded lockbox because he's lock you down, baby.
We put them in the box. And inside there is some Belgian waffles and syrup.
I like it.
Because he's Belgian.
That's right.
But if you've ever seen two do the box celebration, it's because they put him in a box. And usually you see him do it after a 24-second shot clock violation, which they lead the league in. And Chauncey Billups has been like, yeah, it's kind of good, but sometimes we play more defense than anybody because we can't secure rebounds all the time.
Yeah, that sucks.
That's part of their problem. But I don't think two is going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
When you put it that way.
But it would not surprise me if he ended up on the first team. I think he's the last guy on the first team if he gets it.
And that's cool.
I mean, if he's left off an all-defensive team, it will be an upset.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at now.
He's deserving of being under consideration and at least on one of the all-defensive teams. The first team, though, where he started this year and the reputation that he has built and earned throughout the entire league.
From coaches and players alike.
That's pretty, in media too. I mean, people are raving about him and nobody's able to watch him across the league, but you turn on NBA TV, they show the highlights of the Blazers and you're hearing them talk about whether it's, you know, Isaiah Thomas and Channing Frye talking about Tumani Kamara, this Kamara dude in Portland. He will lock you up, man. He is a elite defender in the NBA.
And when you get it from top players, Damian Lillard, Darius Garland, Jalen Brunson. And it's not just guards that are doing it, but guards are saying it because this 6'8" dude, who typically you don't see guarding guards, can guard them and Nikola Jokic at the same time.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, nobody can really guard Jokic, but he did about as good a job on him as you can do as a wing. But his versatility, his ability to impact games on that end of the floor. Alongside this, they also launched the KamaraCase.com.
Ooh,
His own website that has all of the accolades. There's even testimonials. Testimonials from Damian Lillard, from Darius Garland, from Mike Budenholzer, from Jordy Fernandez. Like some of the most respected people in the NBA. And how they talk about, too. And you talk about the gifts of the previous era, previous generation. I don't remember one before Brandon Roy. Do you? For the Blazers? I feel like that was the first time they ever did one.
Yeah. I mean, it is a relatively new thing because it did have to coincide with like social media and being able to take pictures of it and going viral and stuff like that. But I remember B. Roy, LaMarcus for the All-Star game, Dame for Rookie of the Year and his first All-Star game. Did they do something for Wesley Matthews for all defense too?
I think they did a most improved one.
Most improved? Yeah. Okay. It's been a long time since we've had a player that has deserved this too, because you don't do it for a guy like when Dame was making All-Star games year after year.
You know he's getting it.
You do it to garner attention and so people take notice of who he is and what he's doing. Because note, I did not say ESPN or TNT when talking about national media covering Tumani Kamara, because they don't talk about the Portland Trailblazers.
No, they played one national TV game. in that same vein, when you're talking about this stuff and the coverage that it gets, I don't know if you've noticed on NBA Today, Dyson Daniels was on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
Evan Mobley, in his post-game press conference, said, I'm Defensive Player of the Year. Jaren Jackson Jr. in his post-game press conference the other day, I'm Defensive Player of the Year. You're getting these players advocating And I think you saw the biggest push from this from a team with the Boston Celtics when they did it for Marcus Smart and not Robert Williams III, which I still think is insane. That media blitz, because it's Boston and the national media is there, they bought it. Now, Time Lord should have won Defensive Player of the Year that year. Like, it is what it is. This stuff is as simple and weird as it may be, they do it because it works.
Yeah.
It gets notice. It gets notoriety. And the creative thing of it all, that's like when Brandon Roy was the MP3. Dame had headphones and something else. Like, when they did with Brandon, like, MP3 players, like, a big deal. 2007?
Yeah.
That's a, you know, $150, $200 gift that they're handing out. And they sent it to a lot of people. People like, oh, this is pretty cool. And I had, if I remember right, there was a couple of like Wheels' Calls that were on there, along with some of like Brandon's favorite songs that kind of like went into the whole thing. But I like this. The lockbox is, this is a cool little idea.
It is a good idea. And at least, again, the franchise backing a young player who has earned a reputation across the league for a great defender. And, you know, they're throwing a little bit of weight behind him. It's the least they can do.
And also, I mean, this is good for two in the long run, because this is a notch on his belt when he comes up for his contract.
Yeah,
he makes an all-defensive team. Like, look, the team knows that doing this, like, they're reinforcing and building because they want to invest in him. They want to pay him. Like, teams want to pay guys what they're worth.
Yeah. I also think when you were mentioning all these guys coming up, Jaren Jackson Jr., Evan Mobley, all these guys saying, I'm Defensive Player of the Year, Dyson Daniels. By the way, two great defenders tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Two great defenders tonight, and Tumani Kamara and Dyson Daniels in Portland, Atlanta. There's also a realization that Victor Wembanyama is not going to be hurt every year. This is probably
one of
our last chances to do it.
I'm really interested to see what happens in his career. Do we break the mold and go, we're tired of this guy, or do we just hand him the award every time he's healthy enough?
I think Defensive Player of the Year is different than like MVP.
Right.
Voter fatigue doesn't happen.
Like, you just go, yeah, as long as he meets the game threshold, he's going to be, I don't see anyone coming close.
Yeah. Or this is the start of an injury riddled career for Victor Wembanyama, which I don't think anybody wants to see.
No, God, no. Please, please let blood clots clear and be totally fine. That's where I'm at with that. All right, coming up next, we're going to
a bold stance.
Yeah. Blood clot's bad. No like. Coming up next, we're going to keep it in the NBA. The Thunder had the chance to do something pretty special, and there's a lot of numbers behind it that kind of back up just how great of a season that they're having, but we'll dive into one that's pretty indicative and pretty important. But first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
The Oklahoma City Thunder currently hold the best record in the NBA at 63-12. They are 33-5 at home, 29-7 away, 35-11 against the Western Conference. They have a point differential of plus 13.3, which I believe updated is second all time.
That's pretty good. Dude, they have seven games to go.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go 7-0, we could be seeing the third ever 70-win team in NBA history with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And looking at their schedule, you go, all right, they're going to shut guys down. They've earned it. Mm-hmm. They deserve it. They have, 14.5 game lead over the second place team in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Look at their schedule, though. There is 100% a path for them to get to 70. Because if they win their next four games, they're going to win their next three, even if they rest guys. Their next four are Detroit tomorrow without Isaiah Stewart, without Ron Holland. Okay. Then they have the Rockets, Lakers twice. If they get past those four, their next three are at Phoenix without Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm. And they may have just packed it in by then.
Maybe without Bradley Beal.
Mm-hmm.
At Utah.
Mm-hmm.
At New Orleans. If you play those two teams at the end of the season, even if the Thunder are resting everybody.
The Pels just shut down CJ and Zion.
Yep. They are not in the business of winning any games whatsoever.
They want to lose every single game remaining.
They could win their next seven if they get past these next four unscathed. And that path to 70. 70 is such an elite number, right?
Yeah, only two other teams in NBA history. It's the 95-96 Bulls, and it's the Warriors team that ended up losing to the Cavs in the finals with two 40-point performances from Kyrie and LeBron.
Don't mean a thing if you don't get a ring, right?
73-9, and they lied.
Dang, bro. So that I don't think, because it's Oklahoma City and because of how dominant they've been, they are not recognized as one of the all-time great teams. And you just outlined, they are one of the truly all-time great teams. And the freakish thing about it, one of their best damn players missed a month with yeah. month and a half with a broken hip.
2 months.
That is Chet Holmgren not playing, and they've still been so impressive all season long.
Here's something that's insane. So this season, they lead the league in 10-0 runs per game, meaning they go on a 10-0 scoring streak. They do it 1.1 times per game. So more than once a game,
really,
they go on a 10-0 run. Even more interesting, they are the second best team in allowing 10-0 runs. Only the Cavs have allowed less.
Crazy. I mean, that is sheer dominance. In basketball, obviously, a game of runs, right?
They put it on you and put you under pressure early and often.
And six-point runs, those happen all the time in a game. But you get to that 10-point run, that is where it is kind of the back-breaking runs, or those 10-0 runs, and they average one of them per game. Jeez Louise.
If you're wondering where the Blazers fall on this, they're actually on the positive side of the graph.
Oh, really?
They create more 10-0 runs than they allow.
All right. Hey.
Nearly 0.8 10-0 runs while allowing under 0.7.
Okay.
So the teams that are positive, and just kind of listen to this out and see how this tracks for you. These are the positive teams in the NBA. Thunder, Cavs, Knicks, Celtics, Nuggets, Lakers, Suns, Rockets, Blazers, Clippers, Bucks, Kings, Pistons, Timberwolves, Grizzlies, Heat. It's a pretty indicative line of playoff teams.
Yeah, except for
the Suns, because it's their defense that sucks so much.
Blazers.
But what's interesting is the Suns are higher up on the runs allowed, or I should say lower on the runs allowed than they are created.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Kind of weird, because you think about Booker, Beal, Durant, you would think offense, but they're actually better at allowing them than they are creating them.
Yeah, but Bradley Beal is no longer an offensive threat, and Kevin Durant, an all-time defender as well as scorer. Like,
yeah. Does not get the credit he deserves on that. But yeah. I found it interesting because you look at the teams that aren't, the Warriors, the Magic, the Mavs, the Hawks, and then obviously the dregs of the NBA. But it was
the Hawks are in there, eh?
Mm-hmm. They're on the negative side.
Interesting.
They dealt with a lot of injuries. So.
Fan text line, too funny. I get the runs when I watch the Blazers.
It happens. Boom. But I see a lot of Thunder fans on social media. Like, where's our credit? You get it in July, dude.
Yeah.
That's when you get it.
But they do have a point, though, because every team that has portrayed this level of dominance.
Made the finals.
Well, they make the finals. But throughout the course of the season, it is talked about how impressive they are. And a lot of those teams, so much of great regular seasons comes down to injury luck. And they have had really good injury luck outside of Chet Holmgren missing 2 months of the season. And that is, that's an impressive feat. And it just, because it's Oklahoma City, because SGA is a superstar in the NBA that is not branded as such, for whatever reason, maybe because he's Canadian, I don't know. I don't know. Why isn't SGA branded like the other superstars in the league? Because he hasn't done it in the playoffs yet?
Not just that. He does this I'm too cool to be cool stuff. Like, have you seen those stupid commercials with him and Chet and now Jalen Williams, the cell phone commercials?
Yeah.
I think it's AT&T. He always has like the squares. He's like a fashion guy, but it's like no one cares.
Yeah, I think that commercial maybe put everybody off.
Yes, it's terrible. Yeah.
What a rook wants.
Yeah, it was god-awful.
And we saw it
a thousand times.
Over and over and over.
It's a bit of a protected personality, and I think that's part of it, is he does the I'm too cool stuff.
Yeah.
He's trying to be too cool instead of just...
And he doesn't get the full weight of Nike because he's a Converse guy.
Yeah. And again, he's Canadian.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the embrace of non-American stars. I mean, look. The three best players in the NBA right now, or four best players in the NBA, they're not American. Giannis, Jokic, SGA, and Luka.
Yeah.
Four best players international.
Not American.
And you talk about like the torchbearers and who's going to come forward. Everybody kind of points to Ant Edwards. We've had the discussion. It's like, no, he's not.
He is flashy, though, and really fun to watch if you do watch him. The NBA did something really cool, April Fool's, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did April Fool's, just a cut up of ball fakes, great ball fakes in the league. He's on there a few times where putting people in pretzels.
Oh, SGA's footwork and like the ability to play off 2 feet, he's the best in the NBA.
Crazy.
Part of why he's not looked at the same way is because how often do you see SGA with an explosive dunk or a crazy three? It's the in-between game.
Yeah.
He is the best in-between game in the NBA. It's the same reason why there's a kind of a hard line of DeMar DeRozan appreciators. I love DeMar. One of my favorite players to watch, but it's all craft. It's all mid-range craft and footwork and creative throwback play, which I love because I think those are the kind of guys that age incredibly well. And I think SGA's game is going to age incredibly well.
Yeah.
But that flash, the lack of flash, I don't think is appreciated like it was in the past.
If they do finish this season off 7 wins in a row to end it, they'll go into the playoffs with a 17-game winning streak.
Mm-hmm. My one pushback on this is sometimes you want to have a loss before the end.
Yeah.
Also, if they just had one loss, they'd win 69 games.
Yeah, nice. That would be quite the run that they would go on, though.
With the collegiate atmosphere, I feel like ending at 69 would be a good omen for them.
Yeah, all that means is that the Sixers would end up with the 6th pick. They would package all of their picks, and they trade all the way up to number 1 and get Cooper Flagg.
I mean, they can do that regardless.
God,
no matter how many games they win or lose.
That would be awful.
I don't want to see it.
No.
I don't want to see it.
They'd win 80 games.
You know what the NFL wants you to see?
No.
More of their games taking over territory. Yeah, the NFL.
It was a good run, the NBA.
Yeah, the NFL is doing a thing that I don't like. We'll get to that as we wrap today's show here on Danny and Dusty, Tinny the Fan. I don't like it.
Kiss my ass.
The NFL is encroaching on my territory. The NFL is going to hold a historic, they say, Christmas triple header with a cross between Netflix and Amazon on Christmas Day. Christmas is for basketball.
I said, you better not.
Yeah, the NBA had a good run with owning Christmas Day. It is over. The NFL said, we want that day too. 3 games this past year. 3 games this year on Christmas Day. And the way that they did it was they also made it so you couldn't flip back and forth between the NBA because it's all streaming.
Mm-hmm.
It is calculated, and I do agree with you to an extent that it sucks that they just said, NBA, no, this isn't your day anymore. We own it. It will be interesting to see, though, how long this lasts, mm-hmm. because Christmas won't always be on days where football can be played. Because
it is a Thursday. This is the first time they're playing a Thursday Christmas Day game. That's why Amazon is going to get the Thursday night game and Netflix is going to get the 2 earlier day games.
And when it is on a day where you can't have football, that will be a bigger test and we'll see what happens. But the NFL is coming for the NBA's territory. They did it this past year and the numbers were through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I think the NBA would be, or the NFL would be okay with not doing it again. But when Netflix says, wait a minute, that was huge for us, we'll give you some more money.
Mm-hmm.
And their numbers go boop, boop, boop. There's a reason why, is because more money is involved for the NFL. And just like every other move that the NFL makes, it's all about money.
Yeah.
And they're going to make a butt ton of money off of 3 Christmas Day
games.
Which
is why we're going to 18 games here soon.
But player safety on the tush push.
Yeah,
we really need to worry about player safety on the tush push.
Forget adding another 70 snaps to a guy, but the tush push is, that's the player safety.
Yeah, because leverage. It's the leverage game. It's just, it's so unsafe, you know? But in 18th game,
the data doesn't really say anything there.
No, the data says these guys are going to die early anyways.
Yeah.
But the tush push, got to get rid of it. Gotta get rid of it.
Just violently dumb.
Yeah, I will be interested to see what games they are because, look, this past year we got a great slate, and that is really what helped it.
Yeah,
is that Christmas Day slate was
You can't put the turd burger on. Like, if look, the NFL is just going to NFL, but if you throw the turd burger out there on Christmas Day, people are going to watch and then check out.
No doubt about it. Because this past year, if you forgot, the doubleheader that was this past year was Kansas City at Pittsburgh, Baltimore at Houston.
Yeah. Four really good teams with four supercharged franchises and fan bases.
Mm-hmm. And remember, they were awful games. They were mm-hmm. not good games. What was the score of the Baltimore beat Houston 31-2?
Yeah, it was an absolute beating.
Yeah. Yeah, ruined so many kids' Christmas in Houston. Mm-hmm. Get it, wake up in the morning, Santa brings you a CJ Stroud jersey, and
you
then
throw it on to watch the game, and you want to burn it by the end of it.
It's brutal, man. That's brutal. And the Chiefs waxed Pittsburgh, too, mm-hmm. in their game. It was 29-10. Mm. Nope, but people watched, made a lot of money. We're going to do it again. Let's go.
It's Thursday a Festivus night. Miracle.
Yeah,
you're that's, dang right.
I just look, man, Christmas is for NBA. It is.
It was.
Still is.
It's real to me.
It's real to me. No, I mean, like, Christmas is always, like, you know, when you talk about what Major League Baseball did this year with opening day, like, they're prioritizing more as opposed to just event viewing. Yep. And the NBA, when you event viewing, was Christmas Day. Like, Jeff Stotts, who does In Street Clothes,
yeah,
had the
injury guy.
The injury guy. He had the availability. It's weird. Availability spiked. No, on no Christmas
way.
Day.
No way.
It was super weird. He had a tweet the other day that showed that tracked the time over the year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that came out of it was at the lowest so far this season, players are the lowest point, 65% of players were available.
What? Really?
That was like a week ago. It was the lowest point of the season. It was like 66% of players were available. So more than a third of the league was out for quote-unquote injury or rest.
I thought it was interesting what J.J. Redick said the other day when he dropped the, when you play the Lakers, nobody rests. 86%
of the salary was playing them. He's like, come on, man.
But it is true, because we always talk about when's like the last time Giannis played in Portland, when's the last time Joel Embiid played in Portland.
Like, it's national TV. That's what it is.
It is. And you're always in the spotlight. But guess what? You signed up to be the coach of the Lakers. Don't give me the,
everybody, every good player plays against us. Well, you're on national TV 44 times a year, dude. Deal with it.
All right, that does it for us on this Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow because it's Wednesday. It's a wrestling Wednesday. Mm. We'll have Fact or Fiction tomorrow. If you missed any of the show, go check it out on podcast. Jeff Russ does a great job of putting those up. We had a great interview with Anthony Leverts of the Next Pitch podcast of the Odyssey Sports Network. And we'll be back tomorrow. Let's do the damn thing. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time. That's good soup right here on The Fan.
Bye. The pucker factor turns into suction. If you guess you're gonna suck, suck hard.